Fear is a strange thing. It can be good. It can help us to avoid danger. It can also be bad, causing us to freeze up and get caught by the very thing we fear. It can be irrational. Fear can be irrational, causing us to do things that are bad for us. As we saw, fear shows up several times in our text today. Now, how many of you have ever been scared of thunder? Anybody scared of thunder ever? Okay. You were scared of thunder one time? I was probably scared of just one time. There's some brave ones up here. You know, Peter has been scared of thunder all the time, not just one time. In your room, all alone. It's scary. Thunder's scary, right? Now, what if there was an earthquake, and then there was a man, and his appearance was as lightning? It's even worse than thunder, right? Rosie's on track this morning. Yeah, you're paying attention, aren't you? Kids can relate with being afraid, sometimes better than adults can. No, Tate, I'm not going to bring up the woods again. He keeps joking about how I always talk about being scared in the woods. It didn't even occur to me until just now. Sometimes the sheer power being displayed is enough to make us terrified. It doesn't have to be anything that's threatening us or that is out of control. But if you stand next to a giant, giant truck and you see its bed tipping back, and you're not in danger, but you're next to it and you can feel the rumbling and you can see the giant rocks pouring out the back of it, it can cause you to have the awe of fear, right? It can cause you to tremble at the power that's being displayed. And these are tools that have been created by men, that are under the control of men. But when we see lightning, and how many of you have gotten over the fear of thunder? I mostly have, except for when the lightning strikes right next to me. I'm scared of lightning, but the thunder, I think, is just as scary when it's boom, right then, the moment the lightning strikes, because that's how close it is. Even thunder is scary. On the other hand, there are things that we might fear irrationally, right? Now, there are brown recluse can be around. But most spiders that you see won't hurt you. But how many of you are scared of spiders? Okay, we got some. I figured there'd be some people who are scared of spiders. And do you ever do things irrationally that can cause bigger problems than a spider could ever cause just because there's a spider? Yes, I see that hand. We can hurt ourselves in our attempt to get away from something that cannot hurt us. Right? Okay, so fear. We've got fear in our minds. We've been thinking about it, thinking about the things that are dangerous, things that are powerful, things that aren't dangerous but scare us. We saw it in our passage. Fear. We afraid. In fact, this is a consistent theme throughout Scripture when men face angels. Men are scared when angels show up. And one of the reasons you can tell is because all the time, the first thing that the angels have to say is what? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And the angel tells the women not to fear in our passage. Notice that the soldiers are not told not to fear. There's a pretty big contrast there, isn't there? The women are told, don't be afraid. The soldiers are left to their fear. And what happens? It grows. It's magnified until the point where they shake. Have any of you have ever been so scared that you're literally shaking? Okay, a couple of you have. You've got to be really, really scared to shake. I one time saw my little sister shake in terror. She was not in danger. She had gone upstairs to use the restroom while we were eating dinner, and as she was coming back down, you could see her, just the top of her head coming down the banister. It was a solid banister. My dad got up and he hid behind the banister, behind that half wall. And right as she got to the bottom, he went around the corner. Roar! And she just shook for a while. And my dad's face changed, you know, from one of, this is a fun joke, to like, what have I done? And then she stopped shaking and she said, Daddy, you scared me half to death. And he thought, I think I did. I have seen my little sister shake in terror. I think that's the only time I've seen somebody shake in fear. These grown men were shaking in their fright. They were not metaphorically shaking in their boots. They were literally shaking in their boots. If they were wearing boots, they were probably wearing sandals. Literally shaking in their sandals. And what happened? It went one step further. They actually, it says, became like dead men. They passed out. Their fear was so great. It's quite the contrast. These strong, armored, armed soldiers to the two weak women who didn't know how they were going to be able to move the stone away. They weren't shaking. They didn't fall down like dead men. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, lions are bold. Why? Yeah. Because they're the top, like the top predator? They are the top predator. I think they are. We can in on land. We'll limit it to. They don't have anything to be afraid of. They're the biggest, the baddest, the strongest, right? And so lions aren't scared. And the righteous are said to be as bold as a lion, but the wicked, they flee even though nobody's pursuing. Why do the soldiers fall down in a dead faint because of their fear. What is it that makes them so? Yeah, go ahead. They are unrighteous. They know that something is terribly wrong with them. They know. Just as the centurion who was standing at the foot of the cross while Jesus was crucified saw the signs, and these are signs, are they not? A violent earthquake, an angel that's like lightning, moving the stone that takes multiple men to move, right? And they have seen a sign, and the centurion at the cross said, I know something from these signs. This man was innocent. And what is it that these men know from these signs? This is the contrast that is what's revealed whenever a man faces an angel. You're looking at a righteous being without sin, holy from the face of the Lord. And you know that you are not. And so you're afraid. But these two women are not afraid. Now the angel says, don't be afraid. I will grant you. But they are able to stand in the presence of this angel. Why? Because they haven't done anything wrong. Now, I don't mean to say they aren't sinners, right? That's not my point. My point isn't that women are better than men either, believe it or not. The point is that there is a grand difference between the righteous and the wicked. We see it in Proverbs, we see it here in this passage. Now, twice, these women are told not to fear. First, the angel says, do not be afraid. Then, in verse 10, Jesus says to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Should the soldiers be afraid? The soldiers should be afraid. Even though the angel wasn't there to get them, wasn't pursuing them, they run off after they wake up from their dead faint. But they're right to be afraid. Because what was their purpose there? What were they attempting to do? Keep Jesus dead and buried. That was the whole point of putting the soldiers there, right? And of course they couldn't. Death couldn't keep him. And no amount of men guarding his grave could keep him dead. What's been revealed here is a great, great power, a power that is even over death. Could you ask for a more glorious demonstration of power? A man raised from the dead. Ultimately, you can fear God, or you can irrationally refuse to fear God. Now, this gets at the flip side of fear, right? Because we talked about all the things we can be scared of. Have you ever seen somebody who wasn't afraid when they should have been? I think this often happens with mothers. They get to watch their children not be afraid when they should be. And try to teach them to rightly fear things like the hot burner. And they can either learn from your instruction, or they can learn by touching the hot burner. And then they will learn to fear. You think that's funny, huh? Have any of you ever touched the hot burner? I have. And it teaches you a healthy fear, right? A healthy fear of the power of the burner of the stove. There are many things that we ought to fear. We ought to treat with an appropriate respect of their power, of their danger. Many people do not respect the power of cars the way they ought to, right? So you young people that are learning to drive, remember how big and heavy a car is. How much kinetic energy is, you've been in school long enough to learn that. Kinetic energy is it kinetic energy? Did I get that right? Moving energy, kinetic energy, yes, thank you. I need that help. It's been too long since I took my physics. There is a lot of energy wrapped up in that vehicle, right? You need to have a healthy fear of what your control of that vehicle will do or could do. It's wrong for us to ignore danger. So here's the funny thing. We got the soldiers, and then we've got the women. The soldiers are afraid, and they're right to be afraid. The women are told not to be afraid. And I say, you can't be told not to be afraid until you have faced the reality of the judge of the universe and been afraid. You will not repent. But when you repent, you have nothing to fear. And so this is why I say, ultimately, you can fear God, or you can irrationally refuse to fear God. But if you refuse to fear Him now, you will later. The soldiers weren't afraid to guard the tomb of Jesus. Just another job to them, guarding the grave of the King of the universe. They weren't afraid. You will fear Him later, but your fear will be the consequence of what you have done. You will only have, as Hebrews 10 says, a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Have you guys ever been in front of a fire that was big? I mean, real big. And seen the way that it roars? That's something to learn to be afraid of. It consumes, it growls and roars, it rushes. The heat pushes back against you and shoots up towards the sky. This is what we are told we have to fear. If we don't fear God, we will fear God that way. Now, you may feel right now like you have thick glass, like at the zoo. You know, you got that glass that's like you can't tell how thick it is. It might be a foot, it might be 3 feet between you and the lion. You might feel very safe right now, like God is up in heaven and there's this huge, maybe it's the firmament in his way. You don't have to worry about him right now. You feel safe? It's an illusion. You are not safe. There's no glass in the way between you and God right now. You might think he's forgotten. You might think he doesn't care. Read the Psalms. Read the prophets. These things are full of the warnings to those who think, God isn't watching. God doesn't mind. God doesn't care. God has forgotten. God has left. He's abandoned his people. He's abandoned the weak, the innocent, the helpless. We can do what we want. You might think he doesn't care, but how often has God brought low the mighty when they were convinced they were unstoppable? Thankfully, many, many times. Think of the people who were unstoppable in this world. They've all been stopped, haven't they? Death has come for every last man, and death came for Jesus, but it couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Do you fear God? Do you fear facing his discipline? Maybe facing his discipline is what keeps you from repenting. You're unwilling to face the discipline that comes with repentance. But then, you're not fearing God. Because what that is to rather face his wrath in the last day of judgment than to face his loving discipline as a father. What a trade. Means you don't fear God, it means you fear getting caught. But not enough to actually repent. You fear your pride being wounded before other men more than you fear God's wrath. The other option is to fear God with great joy. To fear God with great joy. That's what it says in verse 8. The women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. How could we fear God and have joy? Well, we have in Jesus the proof that God will do what he has said. He raised him from the dead. So it's in his resurrection that we have the proof. It's in his death that we have forgiveness. It's in his resurrection that we have the proof. The power that demonstrates is terrifying. The love the cross demonstrates is beautiful. But the power that's demonstrated in the resurrection, that's something to fear with great joy. It just so happens that God has promised that he will also raise up from the dead all who put their faith in Jesus. What a promise. It wouldn't be much of a promise if he hadn't raised Jesus, though, would it? And so the women run off with fear and great joy. And then they see Jesus. And what do? They worship. They worship Jesus, their Savior. Now, worship is inherently fearful. I'm not going to spend a long time on that, but I want you to just think about that as you go out. What are the things that you worship? There's something of fear wrapped up. But Jesus, they worship, and he accepts their worship, and then he tells them not to fear. Why? Because they fear him, there is nothing else to fear, and they have nothing to fear from him. They have nothing to fear from him. Now, the disciples took a long time to learn this lesson. They were afraid, hiding in the upper room, weren't they? They were afraid of death, weren't they? They ran away from the soldiers and from the religious leaders when Jesus was arrested. They were afraid. They were afraid of a lot of things. Peter was afraid of the water. They go back and forth. He has faith. Look at him. He's walking on water. He's afraid of the water. He's sinking in the water. But the disciples did learn eventually not to be afraid, didn't they? And then they died because they weren't afraid. Now that's where the whole question of faith comes down to a very fine point, doesn't it? Were they fools? Or were they filled with faith? Were they fools not to fear? It ended in their death. Or were they wise to have gone beyond fear, even to death, because they believed in the Christ who was raised from the dead and that they would be raised up too? Do you believe that Jesus was raised? Do you believe in the promise of life everlasting? Then you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Don't be afraid. Do you fear God won't or can't keep his promise to save you if you put your hope in him? Don't be afraid. Have faith. Do you fear death? Don't be afraid. That final enemy will be abolished. Do you fear being alone? Don't be afraid. God is with you, and he will never forsake you. Do you fear man? Don't be afraid. If God is for you, who can be against you? Do you fear your reputation will suffer if you confess your sins? Don't be afraid. Confessing your sins will bring forgiveness. Do you fear storms and thunder and lightning? Don't be afraid. God is in control of the storms. Do you fear for your financial stability? Do you fear for your bank account? Don't be afraid. God provides for his little ones. So don't be afraid. Jesus is alive.